Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Tzadi Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur on Daf Tzadi Zayin will be beginning from approximately a third of the way down from the top. You will notice there is a double dots in the middle of the line, indicating the Dibur HaMaschil, Arba Snifin Shel Zohov Hoyu Shom V'chulei. The topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara is found in the outside margin under the title Nosei being the topic or title of the Sugya. We've written in Mokor, a source, L'snifin, for the side panels, U'lishar kelim hakshurim l'shulchan, and other vessels that are related to the shulchan. The side panels were four panels, two on either side of each one of the two stacks of loaves of the lechem haponim. These side panels had notches in them, into which the konim, the rods, were fitted. These rods were positioned between each one of the loaves in order to keep them from developing mold. This was part of a discussion in our previous shiur. In the meantime, the Gemara here will be citing a posuk in which there is a reference to the different vessels that are connected to the lechem aponim. So the Gemara opens up with a question, Menohani Midi, from where do we know that you are to make side panels? Omar of Katina, Omar Kro, V'osiso ke'orosov, V'kapoisov, uksoisov, u'menakiyoisov. That's the pasuk, and there are another three words that are part of this pasuk that will be darshaned a little bit later, where it says Asher Yisach Bohen. The Gemara now breaks down the pasuk word by word and explains what each one is a reference to. Ke'oroisov z'elu defusin. That's a reference to the various forms or molds that were used in the making of the lechem haponim. There was an initial mold into which the lechem haponim was placed as dough, and it was shaped in that mold, and then it was transferred into a mold located in the oven, and after it was baked, it was taken out of that mold or that form and put into a third defus, a third form. Kapoisov, elu Bozichin. That's a reference to the receptacles that contained the Levona spice that sat on the Shulchan and was offered on the altar every Shabbos. Ksosav, Elu Snifim. We've dashed underlined this because as far as the question of Menohani Mili and as Rashi explained it, this is the focus of our attention. From where do we know that there are side panels? So it's from the word Ksosav. Umenakiyosav elu konim. This word is a reference to the rods that were placed between each layer of lechem haponim. Asher yusach bohen. This expression yusach the word yusach reminds us of the word schach, something that covers. Shemesachachin bohen es halechem. The rods were placed over the bottom layer of bread, and then on top of that were placed the next level of bread. On top of that, another layer of another set of rods, of konim, and it continued this way up till the the last layer of loaves. We'll get into a more detailed explanation of this a bit later. Moisiv Rava. Rava raises an objection. The Mishnah says, "Lo sidur hakonim veloi nitiloson doiches es hashabbos." The sidur is the setting up, so neither the setting up of the rods on the breads nor the removal of the rods in anticipation of the distribution of the loaves on Shabbos are doiches es hashabbos. In other words, the removal of the rods is to be done on Friday, and the setting up of the rods for the new set of loaves that is placed on Shabbos, the insertion of the rods between each loaf is to take place after Shabbos. So in preoccupation with the konim is not doche Shabbos. It doesn't supersede Shabbos. Now, if you are to think that the Torah makes a provision for these rods, amai ein doiches es haShabbos. So then, why is it that they do not supersede Shabbos? After all, the Torah says you're supposed to have these rods, and the lechem upon him is distributed and replaced on Shabbos. So the rod preoccupation, the rod placement should take place on Shabbos. So why does the Mishnah teach that it does not supersede Shabbos? At this point, Rava makes a turnabout and says that this question is really a non-question. We've used a long answer marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see there's a tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara opposite this marking are part of the answer. Hodar Omar Rava. Then Rava said, Lav Milsa Hu De Amri. That which I say or raise as an objection is a non-issue. Disnan. The Mishnah teaches concerning malachas that are doche Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Klal Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva teaches a rule. Kol malacha she'efshir lo la'asoyso me'erev Shabbos, eino doche es ha-Shabbos. Any activity that could have been done erev Shabbos is not going to supersede the Shabbos. V'hani nami, and the preoccupation with the rods, efshir. It's possible to have been done on Erev Shabbos, delo dochi Shabbos alayu, and because it would have been possible to remove the rods on Friday in anticipation of the distribution coming up on Shabbos, distribution of the lechem uponim loaves on Shabbos. So since it would have been possible to remove the rods on Friday, it's not going to be doche Shabbos. And now the Gemara offers an explanation. Taimo mai, what's the whole reason for the presence of the rods? Delo la'apish lechem, so as to ensure the bread from not going bad. La'apish would have to be turning into mold. Well, b'chi hai shura, in this small amount of time, namely from Friday till Shabbos morning, lo ma'apish, the bread would not turn to mold, would not become moldy. Kedisanya. Now, we have a brisa that explains when the rods are removed and replaced, and schedule is featured over here. Ketzad, how is it to be done? Nichnas me'erev Shabbos v'shomton, the Kohen would enter the Heichal on Erev Shabbos, remove the rods, umanichon le'orkoi shol shulchan, and place them in the length of the table, umotsoi Shabbos, and upon the conclusion of Shabbos, nichnas, he would enter, Magbia Rochelle Shel Chalo Umachnis Kone Tachtel. He would pick up the end of the loaf and insert the rod under it. The Choser Magbia Rochelle Shel Chalo, and he would then repeat this with the next loaf. Umachnis Kone Tachtel, and insert the rod. Arba'a chalois tzrichos shloisha shloisha konim. Four of the breads required three rods each. Ho'el yoyna eina tzricha eloshnayim. Under the uppermost loaf, there was a need for only two rods. L'fishein oleho masui, because above the uppermost, because the uppermost loaf, as it was a was a light was an issue of a light load to bear, so there wasn't much pressure placed on the underneath the top uppermost loaf, namely onto the second loaf from the top. So, being that there wasn't much masui, much weight, only two rods needed to be inserted underneath the uppermost loaf. Hatachtoino eino tzricho kol iker. The bottom most loaf did not need any rods underneath it. Lefi shemunachas al tiaro shel shulchan, because it's located directly on the surface of the table, and being that the surface of the table was cold, it was made of gold, and as such, the metallic nature would repel heat from developing. And therefore, there was no worry concerning mold development. We have a crude illustration that we've included in the inside margin of a stack of lechem aponim. There are six loaves. Those are loaves with their sides turned up, and between each loaf is a number. And that number represents the number of konim, of rods. So as you can see, the bottom most loaf, underneath it there is no number, because it is sitting directly on the shulchan. When you look at the most of the loaves, you'll see a number 3 next to the space between them, because 3 rods are inserted, with the exception of the uppermost space. There's a number 2. We mentioned that the uppermost loaf is a singular loaf bearing down on the second one from the top, which doesn't pose much of a threat, so to speak, by way of weight. Therefore, 2 rods are sufficient. As we turn to the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this sugya. Mokor l'machlokes Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda b'inyan shi'ur amo. We saw a controversy between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the size of an amo. The Torah makes reference to the amo measure in many different instances. You find the amo measure used when dealing with the construction of the structure of the Mishkan, and you also see the amo mentioned as the dimension, as the basic dimension used in the construction of the vessels. So the amo is made of 6 tfachim. However, there are situations where an amo is made of 5 tfachim. A tefach is what's in English translated as a hand breadth. We will use the term tefach as we go along in the sugya. So there is a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, regarding the size of the amo. And as we go on in the Gemara, we will first quote a Tanaic source. And the source for their controversy will be found in a pasuk from Yechezkel that the Gemara will quote and then break it down into its various parts. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it is in a frame. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Amos Shehoyu B'Mikdash Beinonios. All the Amos that were in the base of Mikdash were Beinonios, which means they were 6 Tefach Amos. Chutz Mimizbech Hazov, and now there's an exception. 4 points are mentioned in this exception. so that there is a very specific set of things that were not included in the six amo, the six tefach amo, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, and they are the Mizbeach Hazov, the golden altar that sat inside the Heichal that was used for the burning of the spices of the Ketores, the HaKeren, the corner of the Mizbeach HaOla, that's the outside Mizbeach, the Mizbeach sat in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, on which the animals were offered. That's the Keren is the corner. There were four corners to, that were at the top of the Mizbeach. So that Keren is measured in a five Tefach Amo, the HaSovev, the HaYesoid. The Sovev was a type of parapet, if you will, that surrounded the upper part of the Mizbeach, below the surface. And the Yesod was the base of the Mizbeach. We've included some crude illustrations for this sugya on Amud Beis, so that you can see where, if you look at Amud Beis, we've indicated on the inside margin a side view of the Mizbeach, indicating where the Yesod is, the base, and where the Sovev is, the upper path or parapet around, that was around the upper part of the Mizbeach. When we see these points, there is a vertical measure to these things and there is a horizontal measure to these items, the Keren, the Sovev, and the Yesod. These will be discussed in great detail on Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amas Binyan Shisha Tfachim, the Amo of structure was measured in six Tefach Amas. The Shel Kelim, when it came to measuring vessels, there were Chamisha, there were five Tefach Amas. The Amas Binyan, it should be pointed out, when we say it refers to the structures, part of that includes the Mizbeach HaOila, which is the Mizbeach that sat in the courtyard. Even though it's called an altar, and there's a golden altar, which is clearly classified as a kli, as a vessel, this altar was a structure. In fact, it was very large. It was 10 amos tall, and 32 amos at the base, a very large structure. Hence, it's not classified as a vessel, but rather as a binyan. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim Mikro Echodarshu. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda expounded on the same pasuk. In other words, they arrived at their conclusions by learning the same pasuk, coming to their different conclusions respectively. The pasuk says, V'eile midois hamizbeach be'amois amo, amo v'toifach v'cheko amo, at the top now of Amud Beis, you can see v'cheko amo, v'amo roichav u'gvula el sfasa soviv zeres ho'echod v'ze gav hamizbeach. The Gemara will break down this pasuk phrase by phrase with explanation. But at the bottom of the of Amud Aleph, where the pasuk began, it said Be'ele midos hamizbeach be'amois amo amo v'toifach. The Rashi comments at the bottom. The mizbeach that we're talking about here is the mizbeach ha'oila, the large mizbeach that sat in the courtyard. And Rashi says be'amois amo amo v'toifach be'amois beinonios yehei Amo, Amo v'tefach. The Amo Beinonis will contain an Amo and a Tefach of the smaller Amos. The Amoisov v'hein b'shel chomesh. The Avila shel shisha Amo v'tefach be'elu. Meaning that the small Amo the 5 tefach amo plus a tefach would equal the amo beinonis. Being that the small amo was made of 5 tefachim, so you're telling us 5 tefachim plus one more, plus one equaling 6, that's what a amo beinonis is. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have to understand this pasuk. So, as you can see, we've underlined the quotes from the pasuk, and following each underline will be the explanation. Cheko amo ze yesoid, amo rochav ze sovev, ugvula el svasa soviv zeres hoechad, elu kronos. Ze gav hamizbeach, ze mizbeach hazohav. So now, Rabbi Meir Sovar, Rabbi Meir, who had a very limited use of the 5 tefach amo, he looks at this pasuk and says, Zehu ba'amo bas chamisha. In other words, that which is enumerated in this pasuk are measured in terms of the small amo. Ha kol amois kelim. However, all the amos, when referring to other vessels, the amo bas sheish. In other words, with the exception of the mizbeach hazov, all other vessels are measured with 6 tefach amos. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw before, held that the more popular use of the small amo, he says, Koze yu kol amos hakelim, like that which is featured in this pasuk, the items having 5 tefach amos, so to all other vessels will be the same. At this point, the Gemara will be zeroing in on the examples of this pasuk. We saw the terms cheko amo, referring to the esod, amo roichav, referring to the soivev, and gvula el svasa soviv zera soechod, referring to the kronos. You can see in the Gemara text the presence of a triangle, and as you skim down the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice numberings 1, 2, and 3 at the very bottom. On the outside margin of the daf, you can see we have a mivneh, a structural note, where you see a triangle featured. Nisyonos, attempts, lahazbir, to explain, Eifo hoyu amois shel chamisha tfochim al hamizbeach lefi haposuk b'cheskel mem gimel. We're trying to figure where were the 5 tefach amos present on the mizbeach. And as we mentioned before, very briefly, we have, if you focus, let us say, for example, at the yesoid, and we have this diagram in the inside margin, you can see this is a cutaway view, it's a side view, but there is a vertical measure, namely from the ground up to the first indentation. That's a vertical measure. And then as it's indented, that's a horizontal measure. Which of these are measured in terms of the small amo? They both refer to the yesod, the vertical measure of the yesod, or the horizontal measure of the yesod. And the same issue will come up when we look at the sovev. The height of the mizbeach, in terms of amos, without getting into the size of the amos, but the total height of the mizbeach, including the kronos, was 10 amos. And we've listed the numbers in our diagram. At the bottom, there's a number 1. That's 1 amo of height for the yesod. Then 5 amos of height for the sovev. And then 3 more amos of height till you get to the surface of the mizbeach. And then 1 more amo of height for the corners. Now, we turn to the Gemara, starting stage one of analysis. Ka salka daitach miyisoid v'ad soivev be'amo bas hei begova. The havamina, the thought right now, is that from the yisod till the soivev, in terms of height, we are measuring using the five tefach amo. Umay cheik ho amo ve'amo roichav. And what is meant by that quote from the pasuk? Hochi ko'amar. Thusly, one is to understand it. Miche ko'amo, that's from the yesoid, the ad amo rochav, until you get to the sovev, till you get to that parapet. Be'amo bas chamisha. You'll be using a five tefach amo. Gova hamizbech kamahavi. How tall was the mizbech in total? 10 amos. 10 amos. Shis, six of them. Shis is six, and that's a reference to the number of amos of height when measuring yesod, which was one, and the sovev, five. So shis, six of those amos, b'nei chamisha chamisha, were each one of the six were five, chamisha's five tefach amos. So we've inserted between the lines 6 times 5 equals 30. That means we are accounting for 30 tefachim by doing the amo tefach conversion. That accounts for 6 amos. Now the arbo'i, four of the amos of height, b'nei shisa shisa, those are 6 tefach amos. So we've written between the lines 4 times 6. It's 4 amos times 6 tefachim gives you 24 tefachim. So we take this number 24 plus the number of tefachim mentioned the line before, namely 30, add them together, and you get the total height of the mizbech in tefach terms as follows. Mizbech kamahavi, how tall is the mizbech in tefach terms? Chamshin v'arbo'o, 54 tefachim. Palgei de mizbech kamahavi, what is the height of the halfway mark? So, very simply, you take 54, divide it in 2, and you get Esrim v'shiva, 27, namely the 27 amo, the 27 tefach mark of the mizbeach is the halfway mark. Mikronois v'ad soivev kamo havi, from the top of the corner till the sovev, how much is there? Esrim v'arbo, 24 tefachim. Kama botsir lepalgi de mizbeach, from 24 till the halfway mark, how much are you lacking? Tlosa, 3 tefachim. In other words, more than 3 tefachim below the sovev, and it might be helpful to use the diagram. You'll notice where the sovev is mentioned. From that point, more than three tefachim below that, you are considered on the lower half of the mizbeach. So let's try to remember this point. More than three below sovev, you're at the considered bottom. Bottom meaning bottom half. That information will be very important when the Gemara goes on and raises its objection. Utnan, there is a Tanaic source that says Chut shel sikro chogro be'emtza. There was a red line that girded the mizbeach, namely around the mizbeach there was a red line, and that red line was at the halfway mark. Kidei lahavdil bein domim ve'elyonim ledomim hatachtonim, which served as a point of differentiation to differentiate between the bloods of sacrifices that needed to be on the upper part of the Mizbeach, as opposed to the sacrifices that needed to be placed on the Mizbeach at the lower half of the Mizbeach. It goes without saying that there were a number of different sacrifices, and some sacrifices required their blood application to be on the upper half, and some on the lower half. And one is not to switch the position of the blood application. There was a line of demarcation, and that was the Chut HaSikra that we just described. Amongst the different sacrifices, there was an Ola bird offering. The Ola bird offering had its blood application, was necessary to be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. That would mean, in theory, according to the numbers we have given you, namely a 54 tefach height Mizbeach, and when standing at the Sovev, you're at the 24 tefach mark from the top, three tefachim more would get you to 27. That's the halfway mark. Below that point, namely three tefachim, more than three tefachim below the sovev, would be out of bounds for olas ha'of, blood application. That's in theory. Now, let us see what the Gemara brings in regarding the olas ha'of. Ela ha disanya gabi ola sof. We have the following Tanaic source regarding the ola sof, and we've written in between the lines the ola sof which needs to have its blood applied to the upper half of the mizbeach. It says hoya ola bekevesh upana lesovev. The kohen processing the ola sof would arise on the ramp, and when he got to the point of the sovev, he would then turn to the sovev. Ubal loy lekeren dromis mizrachis. He would be in effect making a right hand turn onto the sovev and event and get to the southeastern corner of the mizbeach while standing on the sovev. Umolek es rosha mimul arpa, and he would do the malika process, which is the slaughtering method done to the bird offering. It's called malika. Mimul arpa, from the back of its neck. U mavdil, and separate, the create a separation, a cutting apart of the simonim. That's mavdil, that's the trachea and esophagus. U moitse esdoma al kir hamizbeach. And then he would be moitzed the dam, means it would be the blood application. There's a girsa that says umitza es dama, means he would squish the blood, which means for our purposes the blood application for the oyla sa'if al kira mizbech, on the wall of the mizbech. Bear in mind, he's standing on the sovev. At that point, he is, of course, on the upper half of the mizbeach. Ve'im aso'o lemato me'raglov afilu amo achas k'shera. If he were to bend over while standing on the sovev and apply it on the wall of the mizbeach below the sovev, even an amo lower, it's still okay. Now, an amo is either five or six tefachim. For our purposes, it doesn't matter. Even if it were five tefachim, this source is telling you that he could apply the blood of the Ola Sof even five tefachim below his feet, where he's standing on the Sovev, and it's still considered upper part, upper half of Mizbeach. Hey, but according to our calculations that gave you a total of 54 tefachim of height, the 27 tefach is the halfway point, but that 27 tefach was only 3 tefachim below the sovev. This source is saying he could be applying the blood up till 5 tfachim below his feet and still be considered on the upper half. Well, but according to our calculations, the Gemara goes on to say, HaKoyov Elyona Lemato Mishnei Tfachim. He is applying, Elyona means the upper bloods, in this case the Oyla Sa'of. Lemato Mishnei Tfachim means 2 Tfachim below the midway mark. And at that point then he's at the lower half of the Mizbeach, and that's out of bounds with regard to Oyla Sa'of blood. Therefore, we must conclude that there is some error in our calculations. Therefore, the Gemara goes on to stage 2. Ela, Cheik Ho'amo, which was a reference to the Yesod, equals Knisa. That's the horizontal measure, not the vertical. Amo Roichav, which is a reference to the Sovev, equals Knisa. Once again, the horizontal measure of the Sovev was in terms of a 5 tefach amo. Gvulo el svosu soviv, which was a reference to the chronos, equals knisa. That's a horizontal measure of the chronos. Mizbeach kamo havi lei. According to this calculation, the total height of the mizbeach, we know that it's 10 amos. In terms of tfachim, each amo of height, though, is 6 tfachim. So here we have the simple calculation of 10 times 6. That's shisin, 60. So the height of the mizbeach is 60 tfachim. Palgei de mizbeach kamahavi, the halfway mark of a 60 tefach mizbeach, is talsin, 30 tfachim. Mikronos v'ad sovev kamahave, from the keren till the sovev, we know there's 4 amas. 4 amas, each one 6 tfachim, so that's 4 times 6. Chaf dalet is 24. So when you're at the sovev, you're at the 24 tefach mark from the top. Kama botsir lepalgei demizbeach. How many tfachim are missing till the halfway mark as you work down from the sovev? Once again, at the sovev, you're at the 24 tefach mark from the top. We know that the halfway point is the 30 tefach mark. So from 24 to 30, how much are you lacking? Shisha, 6 tefachim. Utnan, the Tanaic source said, which we saw quoted above regarding the Oyla Sa'of, it says that while he's standing on the sovev, v'masol lamata miraglov afilu amo achas ksheira, that if he bends over and applies the blood of the Oyla Sa'of to the wall of the mizbeach, even an amo below his feet, he is okay. It's kosher. It's an acceptable blood application. And in fact, that is the case, because from 24 tfachim on the sovev, he has even an amo below that till he gets to the halfway mark. So as far as an objection from the issue of the Oyla Sa'of is concerned, there is no objection. Everything is fine till this point. However, the Gemara now starts a new objection to this calculation. B'mai ukimto, how did we establish the use of the amo bas chamisha, the 5 tefach amo, the knisa, as a horizontal measure? Umi motzis mukmis lo b'knisa, can you set up the statistics, the posuk, as referring to a horizontal measure, the inset measure? V'ha tnan, we have the following source. It says, Mizbeach hoya shloishim ushtayim al shloishim ushtayim. The Mizbeach measured 32 by 32 amos. Olo amo v'konas or v'kines amo. Then from the bay, from the floor, you rise one amo, and then move in one amo. That's the horizontal measure. Zehu yisoid. That is the yisoid. Now, how much did we move in? It says in the source we moved in one amo. Bear in mind, this is a this 32 by 32 is a measure of not of height but of width, of a horizontal measure. That if you look at the diagram, you're looking at the cutaway. We included in our diagram only the vertical measures of the mizbeach. The 32 would be, if you were to put it on our diagram, you would put it underneath the mizbeach, indicating the entire width of the mizbeach measured at the yesod was 32 amos. However, and this source that we're reading now says that when you moved in one amo on each side, that's the move. That's the inward movement to form the surface of the yesod. The source says nimtza shloishim al shloishim. At that point, the mizbeach's width would measure, meaning when you're on the top of the yesod and you want to measure the width of the mizbeach from above the yesod from side to side. Since we moved in an amo on each side to form the yesod, the width of the mizbeach at that point is shloshim al shloshim, means 30. It's 30 by 30. However, how much did we move in according to our current thought, our current presentation of statistics? We didn't move in a full amo, a full large or regular amo. We moved in a bit less. We moved in 5 tfachim. That's what we said before, that the amo of 5 was used to measure the knisa, the horizontal measure of the yesod. So we didn't move in a full amo, we moved in a bit less. So if you wanted to say, or wanted to express the width of the mizbeach at that point, shloishim ushnei tfachim havei, it really is 30 amos plus 2 tfachim. Namely, on each side you moved in, we said, an amo. But the horizontal measure you said was an amo of 5 tfachim. Meaning on each side you moved in 1 tefach less than a complete 6 tefach amo. If I moved in less than a full 6 tfachim, I'm then creating a greater width. Therefore, the width should have been described as, the width of the mizbeach above the yesod should have been described as 30 amos plus 2 tfachim. Doesn't say that, though, so that's a bit of a problem. Vesu, and furthermore, the Tanaic source in describing the dimensions of the mizbeach goes on to say, Olo chomesh, from the top of the yesod you rise another 5 amos, v'kines amo, and then move in, a horizontal movement inwards, an amo, and that means an amo from either side. Zehu soivev, that is the soivev. But now, don't forget, we're moving this, we moved in an amo. That knisa measure is the central part of our current number presentation. It says here, nimso esrim v'shmoina al esrim v'shmoina. The mizbeach width at that point, while standing, let's say, on the sovev, the mizbeach width would measure 28 amos, 28 by 28. Ah, but there's a problem. Once again, if I moved in only 5 tfachim, then I'm gaining another 2 tfachim for width, because I'm not moving in as much as I would have thought. I'm not moving in a full 6 tfachim. I'm moving in a 5 tefach amo. So I'm moving in only 5 tfachim on either side. I gain thereby 2 more tfachim of width. So that we had a balance of 2 tfachim when we were measuring from the top of the yesod, the width of the mizbeach. Now, when measuring from the top of the sovev, the width of the mizbeach, I gain another two tvachim. So what it should have said is, Eser mushmoina ve'arba tvachim havei. The width of the mizbeach is 28 amos plus 4 tvachim. Why is that not mentioned? V'chitema, you might try to justify our current explanation by saying, since the balance at this point is only 4 tfachim, it's not a full amo, lo choshiv lay, it's not calculated. Well, let's continue. Mokoim hakronois, amo mizeh, ve amo mizeh. The place of the chronos, we're now at the surface of the Mizbeach, we're at the top of the Mizbeach. At the top of the Mizbeach, you have the corners. The corners would account for, again, we're dealing with, let's say, horizontal measures. The corners themselves would occupy an amo on each edge. So if you discount the chronos, that means you're moving in an amo from each side. And we, once again, you're dealing with a horizontal measure. And in this number two presentation of the Gemara, we mentioned that the chronos were measured, their kenisa was measured in terms of a short amo, a 5 tefach amo. So this Tanaic quote says that the when you're at the very top of the Mizbeach and you discount the chronos, it says, Nimso esrim v'sheish al esrim v'sheish. Hey, but just one second. You're moving in not really a full amo of 6 tfachim. You're moving in only 5 amos, 5 tfachim, to discount in discounting the side or the width of the keren. If that be the case, I'm gaining another 2 tfachim. We had a balance before of 4 tfachim. We said, well, it wasn't mentioned because that is not a full amo. But now I've gained another 2 tfachim of excess. Esrim v'sheva havu. Instead of telling me in the source that there remains a horizontal measure of 26 tvachim, it should have said, if our calculations are correct, it should have said 27. It may be of some benefit. We have included a little diagram at the inside margin of an aerial view of the Mizbeach. And you can see we've included the numbers 32, 30, 28, and 26. This is, bear in mind, again, an aerial view, and these numbers represent the width of the Mizbeach at the various points. The 32 is a measure from the width of the Mizbeach at the floor. The 30 is the measure of the Mizbeach's width while standing on the Yesod. The 28 is the measure of the Mizbeach width while standing on the Sovev, namely that which remains above you when you're on the Sovev. So there is 28. And then when you're on the top of the Mizbeach, we have a little 26 that represents the area between the Kronos. There's a, you may be able to see a faint square. It's an imaginary square that's drawn in. That is the dimension that we most recently dealt with, the area that remains on top of the Mizbeach when you discount the, when you don't measure the square form by not measuring the chronos. But as we said, we came out with a balance now of an extra 6 tfachim. 6 tfachim is an amo. So it should have recorded the measure of the top of the Mizbeach within the chronos as 27 by 27. And it didn't say that. Well, and once again, in order to justify this calculation, the Gemara says, lo dok. The Tanaic source was not being exact. The Gemara goes on with more statistics, And we haven't illustrated this, but when you're on the top of the Mizbeach, the Kohen needs to walk around the fireplace, which was positioned on the very top of the Mizbeach, in the middle of the Mizbeach, or more or less in the middle of the Mizbeach. He needed to walk around the fireplace that was there. So that's called Mokom Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim. The path that was on the top of the Mizbeach for the Kohanim to walk around, Amo Mizeh V'Amo Mizeh. He had an Amo of width. You have to imagine a path, or forming a square around the top of the Mizbeach. The width of this path was an Amo on either side. So that's what the Kohen walked on, that Amo path. If we discount that, we're going to be left with the space for the fireplace itself. So if you take off an Amo from either side, and we had the previous number that was featured in the source was 26 Amos that were within the corners, take off one Amo from either side to account for the space the Kohanim are going to walk around on, Nimso Esrim V'Arba Al Esrim V'Arba Mokoim HaMa'arocha. That will leave you with a balance of 24 by 24 Amos for the fireplace. However, in all of our calculations, if you're insisting on keeping to this, to the number two approach to the Gemara, the fireplace really measured Esrim V'Chamisha Havoi. It really measured 25 Amos by 25 Amos. The Chitema Hochonami Lodok, and if you want to insist on saying, well, that here too we were being imprecise. However, v'hoksiv, we have a pasuk in Yecheskel Mem Gimel, and regarding a pasuk, we'll see statistics very soon that will talk about a fireplace of 24 by 24, and you cannot say regarding a pasuk that it's lo dok, that it's being imprecise. The pasuk says, v'ho ariel, the word ariel is a reference to the place available on the top of the Mizbech for the fire. The fireplace. V'ariel, shtem esrei oirech, b'shtem esrei roichav rovua. The ariel, the fireplace, was 12 amos long by 12 amos wide, and then it says rovua in a square. Yochol she'enu elo shtemesrei al shtemesrei. Are we to understand that the full measure of the fireplace was merely 12 by 12? Well, kishuomer el arba'os riva'ov, when the same pasuk goes on to say el arba'os riva'ov, to its four quadrants, four quarters, melamed shebe'emtza hu modeid shtemesrei l'chol ruach v'ruach. The pasuk was describing a situation of standing in the middle of a square, and at that point you're measuring 12 amos in either direction, in all directions, from the middle to the side, 12 to each side. Well, if you're in the middle of a square and measuring 12 amos to the side, the entire width and of the square is 24. And likewise, the length of the square is 24. V'chi tema, you might want to say that in order to preserve this approach, that this approach that ends up saying, as far as these sources are concerned, 24 for fireplace, and as we saw the other numbers, 26 that remained after you discounted the chronos. If you want to try to preserve this approach by saying shis minayhu meikora, six of the 32 original amos. Remember, we started with a measure of the Mizbeach from the base of 32 by 32. Maybe 6 of those amos initially were Ba'amo Bas Chamisha Maisi Lahu. 6 of the 32 amos were initially actually short amos. Oh, they were 5 tefach amos. So that when you are measuring the Mizbeach and saying it's 32 by 32, and you have to discount 1 tefach per 6 amos. In other words, 6 of those amos were short. It was short amos. There were 5 tefach amos. So in effect, you're discounting 6 times 1 tefach. We're mentioning there's 6 short amos. So that in terms of formal amo measure, the Mizbeach really would measure 31 by 31. In other words, the Mizbeach did not take up as much of the floor of the courtyard as we originally would have imagined. This creates another problem. Im kein ravcha lo azora. If that be the case, then you're increasing, so to speak, the size of the azora, meaning when we calculate the length and width of the azora, we're going to be missing 1 amo in our calculations, because in calculating the size of the azora, we have been accounting for 32 amos of mizbeach, but according to the number 2 approach, there's only 31 amos to account for when measuring the Mizbeach. Therefore, the full number of amos constituting the size of the Azora, there'll be extra floor space now. Because if, let us say, and we'll see the statistics very shortly, if you say that the Azora measured 187 amos from east to west, and of those 187 amos, the Mizbeach was to take up 32 of them. Right now we're saying the Mizbeach takes up only 31 of those 187 amos. You're thereby increasing the unoccupied floor space, so to speak, more available floor space than we originally thought. So that this entire approach is going to end up in difficulty. So the last point was that if you are to suggest that of the 32 original amos of Mizbeach, 6 of them were really short amos, accounting then for, in reality, 31 regular sized amos, called amos beinonios. So im kein, reading the Gemara again, im kein ravcha lo azora. You've increased the floor space of the azora. When what we mean by increasing the floor space, we're not saying increasing the total size of the azora, but we're increasing the area of floor space that's unoccupied. Whereas originally the Mizbeach occupied in our minds 32 amos, according to our current statistics, it's only going to occupy 31 of the 187 amos of length. There's another statistic that we will see very shortly. The width of the Azora was 135 amos. Disnan, and at this point, a Tanaic source is quoted, featuring the length and width of the Azora. In this case, the source will then break down the what was accounted for in the statistics. Kol has disnan. We have here the source. Kol Azora hoisa urech mea ushmoinim v'sheva. The length was 187 amos. al roichav mea lishloishim amo, by a width of 135 amos. Mi mizrach lemaro, from east to west, mea v'shmoinim v'shava, there was 187. And we have a colon here indicating now the breakdown. Mokom drisas ragli Yisrael achas esrei. Achas esrei amo. That's from the eastern gate entrance to the Azorah, there was an 11 amo area for the general population to walk on. Umokim drisas ragle hakohanim achas esrei amo. An additional 11 amos further west, as you're moving inwards, for the kohanim. Hamizbeach shloishim ushtayim. This is the number that is of crucial importance to our current presentation, and therefore we've dashed underline that. Bein ulam v'lamizbeach, the area between the ulam and the entrance to the enclosed structure, is another esrim ushtayim amo, another 22 amos. Hahechal mea amo, the enclosed structure itself was 100 amos. Achas esrei amo achorei beis hakaporas, and from the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim till the wall of the Azorah was another 11 amos. If you total up these numbers, you will come out with 187. As we mentioned, the total area of the Azorah length, the total length of the Azorah was 187 amos, and we got to that number by accounting for 32 amos for Mizbeach. But if in reality the Mizbeach was only 31 amos, so we've thrown this statistic out of kilter. Elo. Third approach. Chek ho'amo, the gova. The chek ho'amo is a reference to the yesoid, and that was a short tefach, but that's only in terms of its height. Amo rochav, that's a reference to the sovev, and that was a short amo. That's knisa, that's its horizontal measure. Gvula el svasa soviv, this is a reference to the chronos. Loi shna hachi velo shna hachi. With regard to the chronos, it doesn't matter. If you want to say the short amo was for the horizontal measure of the keren, that would be okay. Mizbeach kamo havi. With this statistic in mind, how many tfachim constituted the height of the Mizbeach? Chamshin v'tamnio, 58 tfachim. Remember, we had a reduced height when it came to the gova of the yesoid, and if you say the gova of the keren is also reduced height, so instead of 60, we're subtracting 2 from the original 60 tfachim, giving you 58 tfachim. Talgidim is be'ach kamahavi. The halfway mark is esrim v'tisha. Mikronos v'ad sovev kamahavi. From the keren till the sovev, how much height in terms of tfachim were there? Esrim utlosa, 23. There were 23 tfachim of height from the top of the keren till the sovev. Now, that we got to by doing 3 times 6, that's 18, plus 5 for the height of the keren, that gives you 23 tfachim. Kama botsu lepagni mizbeach, how much are you lacking till the halfway mark? Since we said the total was 58, the halfway mark is 29. From 23 to 29, you're lacking then shisa. Utnan, and with regard to the oila sa'of, it says, if you do the blood application even an ama below one's feet while standing on the sovev, it's okay. And that, in fact, is the case, because you're standing at the 23 tefach mark from the top, bending over an ama, and you're going to reach the 29 ama from the top mark, which is the halfway mark, and that's okay. Daika nami, and by careful reading, we also see this differentiation when it comes to horizontal vertical, which we mentioned the 5 amo, the short amo was used for the vertical measure of the yesod, and a 5 tefach amo was used to measure the horizontal measure of the sovev. That's in the words. Bekonami dichtiv cheko amo, the amo rochav. The Cheko Amo was a reference to the Yesod, and the Roch Amo Rochav a reference to the Sovev. There's a change in grammatical style. The fact that there's a change in grammatical style shows us that one is vertical and one is horizontal. Shema Mino. This is a good proof. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.